The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And welcome to all of our listeners and viewers today of the program. It is Friday, May 30th already, and another month down pretty much. We've got summer and June coming up, and kind of the best time of the whole year right in front of us. Always nice to know that. And we have a good show for you this morning. We have Carolyn Valley. She's the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. She'll be the guest on the program for the full hour this morning. We're going to talk about some celebrations of home ownership, a tribute to a very special person and a fundraiser. Talk about the AmeriCorps program and the kinds of things that Habitat has been enduring the last few months here of uncertainty, and lots of other things as we speak with Carolyn. She'll be here momentarily. Let's first do the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service. Oh, by the way, congratulations to all Berkshire Community College graduates. Their commencement is this afternoon, and it will be carried live on PCTV's ETV channel 1302, and also on PCTV Select on the website pittsfieldtv.org. So there's lots of ways for you to watch that. Of course, if you've got someone special that is graduating today from BCC, you're going to be up at Tanglewood. And again, that's this afternoon, 4:30, and that's kind of a big day, and that's going to kick off our graduation season here with what PCTV does. Soon enough, we'll have the Taconic High School and Pittsfield High School commencements, as well as our middle school moving up ceremonies, all of those things on the way as graduation season commences. First, let's do the weather forecast. Here we are from the National Weather Service. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly sunny. Highs in the mid-70s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain in the evening, then rain with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Lows in the mid-50s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming northeast after midnight. Chance of rain 80%. Saturday, a chance of thunderstorms. Rain, cooler with highs in the mid-60s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, so we've got kind of a nice day on tap today, but then tonight we're going to get some thunderstorms. Sounds like most of tomorrow is going to be wet, although it's going to clear up later on in the afternoon. So overnight, tonight into tomorrow, mostly wet. Sunday, I was hearing some showers as well. And then, of course, it gets nice again when we get to the weekdays next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I hear we might even see a high of 80 on Wednesday, which would be very welcome news for sure. All right, welcome again to Morning Drive. Here we are on 89.7 WTBR-FM and 88.1 WSBR in Lee and on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301. And welcome to the show, Carolyn Valley. Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here. Thanks for squeezing me in.
Absolutely. No problem at all. And always lots going on. I assume that when the weather gets nice like this, that Habitat for Humanity gets busy as well, right? Building season.
Yes, it's definitely. Well, we've been
busy. You probably don't stop all year round.
We don't stop,
right?
But what we usually do enjoy this time of year is a lot of people want to come out and volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be starting our Saturday volunteer days. So
okay.
Right now, it's scheduled for every other week, and I'll give you phone numbers to call. But you can contact Mike at our office, and he can get you scheduled for a day that we're doing, because we have so much building going on. We're building right. Well, first of all, I need to do a shout out. Wednesday, one of our families purchased their home on Anota Street.
Right, I noticed that. Was that 266, 268?
266 is her side, okay. And this afternoon the other side is being sold.
Oh, great.
So the women have been in there finishing up their finish painting and doing stuff. So today they'll be fully homeowners and in there for a lifetime. So that's good.
And give us a perspective on that. When did that project actually start?
That one started, oh my goodness, that one started because we had five going on at the same time that time too. I want to say that started 9 months ago.
Wow. And and this was an empty lot?
Or it was an empty lot. Okay. We had purchased it through the land auction that the city did. It was one or two lots. Mm. And it just worked out really well that it's a two-unit duplex condo with a common wall. Mm-hmm. But we've since changed our design based on community feedback to have the condo units be still separate units but a connected walkway. Mm. So it still meets the multifamily zoning requirement.
Okay.
But it gives the feeling of being totally separate.
Mm.
So those are the houses that this coming Friday we'll be drawing the first winner for the first opportunity to purchase.
Wow.
And that'll be for 112 Robbins. Mm-hmm. And then 112 Robbins A, excuse me, which is a four-bedroom. And then that same day, we'll be doing, or very close after that, we'll be doing 112 Robbins B.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that is interested in home ownership on those two homes need to have their full application in by next Friday at 4 o'clock.
Okay. And how rare is a four bedroom apartment? Because that seems like I think of, you know, two bedroom, three bedrooms more common, right?
Yeah. I mean, we used to in one of our developments.
But still needed.
Yeah. All of them are needed. Mm. I mean, what we had found is when we started our Gordon Deming project, which is 3 2-unit condos that are all in what we call Gordon Deming Village. When we first started doing the research on that, everybody needed a four-bedroom family. Mm-hmm. There was like nobody who didn't. By the time we started the project and then COVID hit, I mean, it was hard to get a family of three.
Yeah.
I mean, so we were really lucky that we were able to sell those four-bedroom units. Mm-hmm. So we normally build for three bedrooms as the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But we do a pre-screening. So we have over 215 applicants that did the pre-screen to see if they meet the baseline requirements and could make the monthly affordable payment. So if out of those 214, I think it ended up being 50% did not qualify.
Mm.
And most of them were people needed 1 and 2 bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at, you know, in future years, the problem is it doesn't cost that much less to build a 2-bedroom than it does to build a 3-bedroom.
Right.
And it just makes it really difficult to subsidize that even further.
Mm-hmm.
So pricing on affordable housing is so complex.
But then the cost of ownership, or if you were to rent a 2 versus 3 or a 3 versus 4 bedroom place is huge, right?
Yeah. Some of the people that, and I don't know how they're doing it, honestly, Sean, some of the people that are only making maybe $3,000 a month, they're having to pay $2,200 a month in rent.
Yeah.
And it's how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, how do you do your car insurance and feed your family? I just don't understand it.
Yeah. And the golden standard used to be 30% of your disposable income, right?
Yeah. Now,
after tax income could go to housing. But that's all costs of housing, right? 30%?
Yeah. Exactly.
And so is that even attainable anymore?
I mean, it's really hard, but because of the way our mortgages are structured, we actually can do it. And that's the guideline that we still use. Lenders can use 36%. So, but we really feel like that builds
manageable.
In a cushion.
Yeah.
But we really think like you need that cushion for, you know, we don't always control what life does.
Yeah.
And I think that's why foreclosure rates for Habitat Homes has always been so low.
Mm-hmm.
Is because that they start out with thinking about like what ifs.
Yeah.
You know.
And what are some of the other, you mentioned that the people have to qualify to get into the running for it, and only 50% or so made it through this last round.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it sort of the knowledge and the training? Is it, what types of things fall into those qualifications?
So in order to apply, you need to, there's a list of items that you have to have. You can't have more than $75,000 in assets.
Okay.
You have to have a pre-approval letter from a lender.
Mm.
We have 4 different lenders now that are working with Habitat, and they give a better interest rate, and just really a wonderful group of folks that really want to see affordable housing happen. And so you have to already have had done that, but you have to give 3 years tax returns, your bank statements, all of that. And sometimes people just don't have the bandwidth to put all those documents together, which is sad because we usually keep it open for 45 days. So it gives you enough time to do it. And then you have to take a financial education class. There are oftentimes in the beginning of the year, there's special grants. So we have them do what it's called frameworks, because that gives them the certificate that they need in order to be able to apply for those grants. But then they go through our financial education and coaching program as well. And we're actually recruiting for coaches right now.
And a lot of that training really does ensure that once someone gets into the house, that they're likely to stay and they're likely to be successful there.
Exactly. Right? So we're not just about let's getting them into a new location. It's about let's giving them the opportunity for a lifetime of financial stability. And that's why we also train them through partnership hours on how to maintain their house. Because if you've never maintained a house, you don't know all those things. So it's really, we are thinking about what can we do to make sure they're fully successful and can keep the home.
Is there some kind of preparation or training to get to the qualification stage? I wonder, like, in other words, someone says, I want to be, you know, I want to be in the running for this. And you say, well, you know, right now it's not looking good. So these are the things you have to put in place to get to that. And maybe that'll take a year.
Yep. That's exactly what we do. So that's one of the things that goes with the pre-screening. So when we do the pre-screen, we will say, like, are you this close to being able to do it? Are you this close to being able to do it? And depending on which it is, we put you in different tracks. Okay. So if you're what I call the short-term list, it's like, okay, we can almost see what house you'll be building, right? And if you're the longer, it's like, well, you have a longer road to hoe, but we have financial coaches and people that will work with you to help you get there. Because if you only have this far to go, you can usually persevere and say, yeah, I'll get through whatever it is. But when you have this far to go, it's like you need somebody beside you saying you can do it, but let's do it in a methodical way. And people learn to make SMART goals and figure out, like, what is that pathway to what they want. Oftentimes, they might just be missing making enough income. So they'll work with our community navigators on maybe better employment or, like, are there other strategies? And the two girls that closed this week on their house, they had been in Section 8 housing for 10 years. And they just made the decision. They didn't want to, they wanted their kids to have something better. So they started working two and three jobs in order, and they increased their earning capacity, and their rent went up more than what they're paying for their mortgage now, which I understand that's the way the program works. So people that are in that situation where you know, when you're already paying $1,200 for your share to be in Section 8 housing, you should definitely be looking at a Habitat home.
Right.
Because you can own something, build wealth, have something to pass on to your kids, and oftentimes have a less payment than what you're paying now.
Yeah, that other cycle sounds a lot like a trap, you know, where you never get out of it unless you're able to find a way like this to break out.
And I think that when those programs were designed, they were designed to be a safety net. But when it takes you 5 and 6 years to get a voucher and finally get a place, you feel like, oh, my God, how can I give this up? Like, I took so long. And we've had this discussion with many people that have been in Section 8 housing for a while. And they do. They feel like it's golden handcuffs. You know, it's like I'm afraid of what happens if something goes awry. And that's why being financially prepared and really prepared on how do you deal with this. So we teach people about putting together a savings plan, emergency plans. Like, you know, we all know that when you buy a new house, you want to buy something new for the house. So you have to be saving up for that in advance.
Well, and what about debt levels? Because that's another thing that obviously people struggle with. And sometimes it's just to make ends meet. Sometimes they, you know, have a problem that, you know, a car breaks down or whatever it is, and suddenly you find yourself in a hole that you can't get out of, and then you're trying to, you know, make something better and get forward. Does that figure in, and are there ways to, you know, help people, you know, navigate that?
So part of our process is we will pull their credit report, and then depending on, like, a credit report, a lot of people go like, oh, what's your credit score? Like, every other day I'm getting from my credit card company, your score went up, your score went down, like 2 points here, 8 points here. And I'm not buying a house, so I'm not concerned about that so much. But what we try to do is talk to people about credit is really your history, and it's a story of your life. Mm-hmm. So when we look at a credit score, or how you, it's like, okay, there's the credit score, but what is your pattern?
That's the number.
What is your pattern? Like, where might you have some growth opportunities to learn how to do something better? Sometimes people will find stuff that isn't even theirs on the credit report. So then they have to go through another whole process for that.
And a lot of people haven't looked at their credit reports, right? And
suddenly all they do is see the number. If my number's okay, I'm okay. But really looking at it, because what you said, like with the debt load, we had somebody the other day that they're like, that is not my loan. And that was the one piece that was keeping them from being able to apply. And I was like, well, thankfully, we're going line by line, and we're looking at it.
And mistakes do happen.
And
if you don't catch it, you know, you can find yourself on the wrong end of that, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So we do have people that are knowledgeable in credit. We have a Coral Cook is our financial education coach. So she works with the coaches, and she also works with the homeowners on, like, plotting out what can they do to improve their credit. And we also have lending partners that assist with that. And a lot of times when they're going to get their mortgage pre-approval, their lender will say, you know what, we can't give you the pre-approval now, but here's what you need to do. Mm. And then they'll come back to us, and then they'll work with a financial coach on how do you approve that. So sometimes people can, you know, get it done in a very short period of time. Sometimes it takes a long time.
Yeah. Carolyn Valley is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. She's the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. And what a great organization that is, and the kinds of things that we've talked about on this show, much more than just the idea that you have in your mind of Jimmy Carter swinging the hammer. R.I.P. Jimmy Carter.
Love him.
You know, but you know, we talked about the Restore and about the coaching services and everything else. So let's talk about. And was it 112 Robbins Ave recently was in the news because there have been some changes in funding, right? Mainly due to tariffs, which, you know, that's in the news right now. And it's very much up in the air what's going to happen with tariffs. But unfortunately, when it gets to sort of the brass tacks of the things that you do, the boots on the ground and the hammers in the nails, you know, you have to have something predictable, right?
Yeah.
You look going forward, you have to say, can we afford to build this project or not?
Mm-hmm.
So how did that affect the building at Robbins Ave?
Well, not all of them, but the next five houses, the two at Robbins, two on Murphy Place, are modulars.
Okay.
So we had, we were needing to place the orders for the modulars, and the modular company said, because of the impending tariffs, the cost just for their part of it, which is, you know, not all of it, was $37,500 per unit.
Okay.
So we're like, oh my God, how is that going to happen? Mm. So then,
what were you expecting? Was it less?
Oh, yeah. Well, at the beginning of this build, we didn't know there would even be a tariff. Right. So now we have.
So that was just the cost of the tariff.
That was just the cost for that.
Wow.
Yeah. For
so,
just that one piece.
So one
and that's
big
only,
unexpected
that's
cost.
Only for one, the modular part. Mm-hmm. But then you have to think about the other components like electrical, plumbing, and then all of that. And we're building with Taconic High School. We're building a single family over on Curtis Terrace. So I was like, oh, my God, what's going to happen with that? Because that's stick built. So that means every time we order, you know, how do you predict that? So that was the first whammy. And then the second whammy was the administration out of Washington canceled 17 out of 31 grants for Massachusetts Service Alliance for their AmeriCorps members. And our AmeriCorps members is part of a Habitat Build and Repair Corps. It's a workforce training program that teaches people that want to go into the trades, because a lot of people just think, well, you can pick up a hammer and you're good to go. But you don't. You have to learn how to do certain things. You have to learn how to do them in a certain way. And it takes time. And a lot of contractors don't have the time to put into new people unless they've gotten some experience.
And yet it's so important to bring new people in, because otherwise you don't have anyone in the trades to take
over.
You know, to take over as people turn over, right?
Exactly.
You need that.
Exactly.
And so the AmeriCorps people are... young in general?
Young. We have one guy is not young, but almost everybody else is young, under 25.
Yeah.
And
sometimes it's their first major job, career place.
Almost always.
Yeah.
And so three of them had been in the program for a year and a half already, and then some had just started. So I want to just shout out for the three that were there for a year and a half. Mm. They were able to get hoisting licenses.
Okay.
And
what is that?
That means you can run an excavator, you can run big trucks, you can run bobcats.
Okay. So in a year and a half,
anything to do with some machinery.
They were able to attain that, which is great, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, and those are living wage jobs.
Mm.
So we get an email from Massachusetts Service Alliance. They had had a call Friday saying, it sounds like something's going to happen, but we don't know what. Sunday night, it says effective Monday morning, the grant is terminated. You must stop.
Mm-hmm.
These young people signed a contract with our government to provide service.
Yeah, and they were expecting.
And they were expecting to finish out their term of service.
Yeah.
Which, and they only, I mean, the full-time people only get every 2 weeks like $854.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're getting paid a minimum wage.
Right.
They're getting paid a stipend. And the benefit is they're learning a skill and they're building homes, mm-hmm. affordable homes. And they were
So it's kind happy, of a win-win all around,
super
right?
win-win. Mm-hmm. They said something like every dollar you spend with AmeriCorps is a 34-to-1 return on your investment.
Mm.
So, and the thing that really bothered me a lot is these are young people that want to give back to their community, and then our government took that away from them.
Hmm.
And that is what was so upsetting.
Yeah.
But
fortunately, beyond just what the benefits to them, as you said, it's the benefits to the entire program.
Yeah.
And to the industries that they're involved with. It's more than just, you know, $1 going to one person to do one thing. That's the simplified answer, but there's way
it's
more
the
connected
effect.
Stuff. Yeah.
So, fortunately, we were in the process of having the foundations for Robbins dug and poured, and Walker Excavation, who had been working with us for several years, had gotten to know the guys, and when he heard about it, he said, I'm going to offer one of them a job. Mm-hmm. So, on that day, he went from being an AmeriCorps member to being a fully employed person making a living wage with Walker Excavation.
Wow.
So, thank you very much, Andrew, and for making that offer. And he checks in with us all the time. And he said he's a great employee, knows what he's doing. You know, he's young, he's hardworking, shows up on time. And that's exactly what we're trying to teach.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's a good news story.
That
we'd like
was
to
the
hear
good
that.
News. Yeah.
Out of all the bad news, which there's plenty of it, it's nice to hear at least some good stories.
Yeah. And the other good story is Mass Hires. I reached out to Mass Hires and said, you know, this is what's going on. And they said, you know what, let's see if we can get a couple of them in what they call We Owe a Youth. So they're going to be able to extend them out for 300 hours of training and then hopefully another 100 hours in Youth Works. And then we're going to try to finish up their term of service with an on-the-job training where we pay a part of it. And we were lucky enough, we had an anonymous donor that came forward and said, we're going to give you $5,000 and we'll give you a $5,000 challenge match. So and we're almost at the $5,000 now. And they said, we'll match up to $5,000 in other donations.
Hmm.
So if we can get all that, that would be $15,000 that we can use to kind of subsidize it and to get it to the end of their term of service. But, I mean, the generosity of folks to have somebody come out and say, yeah, we want to help. And our friends, the Greenagers in Great Barrington, had the same experience, and they had people that jumped up and supported them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really, really thankful for that. And that really leads us, your comment about getting people into the trades.
Yeah.
We're working with Enterprise Community as a big think tank right now to figure out how do we get more people into the trades, not just young people, because we have a lot of people that a second career in this would be really good.
Hmm.
So we have the schools, Mass Hires, this Habitat, the union, all kinds of folks that have a city government. Anybody that has any thoughts about how we might be able to move more training available, getting more people to go into the trades. We've hosted focus groups finding out what were the barriers. We had a thing at FW Web, thanks to them for hosting us. Mm. Where we could ask plumbers and electricians, how did you get into the field? Like, what got you there?
Mm-hmm.
And almost every single one of them, their family was in the trades,
right?
And then they went to Taconic Vocational or McCann Technical School. And
that was the pathway.
Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, sometimes people look down on people going into the trades. And he said, but I have a six-figure bank account. I have a nice house. I saw his car. I was like, I wouldn't mind having that car. You know, it's a really great living. You work hard. You work hard. But it is, it's an art. It's a skill that you can take forever. And I think the just based on the one day talking to different companies, they said they could hire 14 more people, three more people here. We have to find ways to get more training here in the Berkshires so that they can do that work.
Well, and I'll tell you, so many conversations I have here on Morning Drive with my guests, we somehow get to housing. Whether I'm discussing, like right now, obviously with Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity, we're definitely talking about housing. But other guests I have on, we end up there. And it shows you how important and how needed and how critical it is right now and will be for many years in the future. And all of these pieces of the puzzle really need to fit together. Not only do we need the houses to be built, right, and we need the housing stock to increase, but we also need people to build and to maintain these houses. And that's where these tradespeople come in.
And
if you don't have that, you can't do the other.
Exactly. And especially in our first thing, they presented some data. And there's like 189 plumbers in the Berkshires. 189. I mean, AI can't fix your toilet. AI can't change out your electric.
And yet we hear anecdotally stories of people who are having trouble finding people to come and take care of whatever they have, an electrician, a plumbing problem, a construction problem, you know, foundation problem, et cetera.
Because we just don't have enough people.
Don't have enough.
Yeah, we get calls all the time, and they're like, is there something Habitat can do? And I'm like, we can't do plumbing. We can't do electrical. We can't do foundations. I mean, there's things that we can do, or we can connect them with somebody that can do them. But the need is out there. So it's so important that we really push folks into thinking about the trades. We were just at the West Side Block Party, and we I was like, why didn't we think about having a poll here today? And we had a spin to win wheel. I was like, oh, we'll ask a question. Do you think that going into the trades is a good career pathway? And all but two people said yes. And then as it turned out, five young adults were there, and I was asking them, and he goes, oh, I'm in the carpentry program at Taconic. I'm in the carpentry program. I wanted to be in the plumbing, but we don't have a plumbing. I was like, well, I know they're trying to figure out that. I think Taconic is just out of space, but they would love to be able to provide more of this training.
Yeah. Well, and it's important to have pathways for everyone to find their way and to find what makes them tick, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure when we talk to the folks from Pittsfield High and Taconic, we talk about career pathways because, you know, school doesn't just lead to school. For very few people, maybe it does. They go into academia or whatever. But for most people, when you're going to, you know, high school, whether you're going to a vocational school or to a college prep, and then you're going on to further education, whether that's trade school, whether that's the military, whether that's higher education, there's all different kinds of pathways. One shouldn't necessarily take away from the other, but you also can't just abandon one and say, well, we don't need vocational education. We pretty clearly need vocational education.
Yeah, and it's a drum that's been banged for, God, I've been at Habitat 18 years, I think, from the first year I've been here. I've heard it, we've talked about it, and I was really glad when the Berkshire Blueprint finally put the trades as one of the, you know, because it was always about the tourist industry.
Sure. Yeah.
And in the last revision, they did have the trades in there. And I was like, well, thank goodness for that, because we really should be thinking about that. And it's not just here in the Berkshires. It's countrywide. You know, it's really, really an opportunity. And one of the things that I love about this Habitat Build and Repair course, your training skills. And when we first started thinking about doing this, people are like, well, why would it be Habitat? It's like, well, think about why it wouldn't be Habitat. We train hundreds of volunteers every year, and we're going to be opening up our Women Build program again. I'm so happy to say that. Right now, Greylock Federal Credit Union is going to kick us back off. We had had, until COVID came, we had had 11 years of Women Build programs. And it really is, it doesn't mean men can't come, but what we found was women were not always comfortable with power tools. So we're like, how do we change that dynamic? So, and then the women, oh my gosh, they've been wonderful. They've worked on so many houses. And they always are like, when's the next one? When's the next one? So we're...
Is there camaraderie that comes along with that as well?
There is, mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of times they'll have companies that will sponsor them, or they'll do peer-to-peer fundraising, or it'll be a group of women that just want to do it together. And they'll... I mean, we had one group that's done it together for 9 years, and we started... They all did bling hard hats, and we started doing, like, different what year it was for their hard hats and stuff, and we're really excited that Greylock reached out and said, hey, is it time to get this started? You know, we know you're going to need more work with Les AmeriCorps, and I was like, that would be great. So I think the first ones are going to be in Housatonic, and then I think they'll be able to work on Murphy Place also. But we know a lot of, once the word got out, I started getting emails saying, hey, what about us? Can we come back? I was like, as soon as the houses are set on the foundation, I can put the schedule together.
Yeah.
So the ones on Murphy Place are middle of June, and then 377 Builders is going to kick us off in our project in Housatonic with a ranch that they think they're going to have nearly built in 1 week.
1 week?
1 week. Because, you know, these are 377 Builders, real skilled, and they have donors that are going to help pay for some of the lumber and stuff. And they're we're really excited to see how that happens, because it's going to be the stick-built ranch, and then you're going to see within a week's time, five modulars. And then we'll have so much work to get those modulars done and completed. So it's going to be a great summer. It's going to be, great summer. I'm saying it's going to be a great summer. My staff's probably going, yeah, you think it's great. It's like you're going to have us working 90,000 hours a week. But
you got to make hay when the sun shines, right?
Exactly.
Carolyn Valley is my guest here this morning, CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. We're going to take that top of the hour break that we always do, and we will come back with more on volunteering opportunities. We're going to talk about foundations and futures and talk about what that might be, and also a tribute to Stephen Heller. So all that is coming up in the second half of the show. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Be back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
Do you need mental health or addiction services today? MassHealth clients in crisis now have access to same-day treatment at the Breen Center's new Community Behavioral Health Center, and quicker access to urgent and routine mental health and addiction services. Please call 800-252-0227 for more information, or visit our website at breencenter.org. Thank you.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Riley.
Do you like 90s alternative?
Do you like 2000s emo?
Are you tired of the same old predictable radio?
Tune in to Zennial Yearbook on WTVR. We're playing the best alternative songs from the 90s and early 2000s.
We're playing Green Day, Foo Fighters,
Blink-182, Weezer, and more My Chemical Romance than is required by law.
So tune your Walkman to 89.7 FM WTBR. Saturdays at 2 p.m. for all this and more.
It's Zennial Yearbook!
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and also listening on 88.1 WSBR in Lee and watching us on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 and on the Pittsfield TV website, pittsfieldtv.org. Thanks again for being here this morning on Friday, May 30th. Carolyn Valley, my guest here this morning from Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. We're talking about all kinds of stuff, very interesting stuff about housing and about building housing and volunteering and all kinds of good stuff. More to talk about with Carolyn in just a moment. First, let's do the weather forecast and hear what the National Weather Service has in store for us today. Here we go.
Berkshire Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming partly sunny. Highs in the mid-70s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain in the evening. Then rain with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Lows in the mid-50s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming northeast after midnight. Chance of rain 80%. Saturday, a chance of thunderstorms. Rain, cooler with highs in the mid-60s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yes, it will be wet this evening and into tomorrow, mostly down into the late afternoon, I'm hearing, and then just occasional showers on Sunday and back to some nice weather on Monday, just in time to go back to work. It's perfect timing. Perfect timing. All right. Welcome back to the show, Morning Drive here, and Carolyn Valley, my guest. Good morning, Carolyn, again, and thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we sort of left off with talking about volunteers, and I think you had mentioned that in the first half of the show, where the weather gets nice and the projects ramp up and people are looking for volunteer opportunities. What are the kind of things that you look for in a volunteer? What kinds of things will they do for you when it comes to these building projects?
So we can have, we can host any volunteer, whether you're skilled or unskilled at Habitat. What's really helpful to us is if you self-identify which of those two things you are. So when you call in or you send in an email inquiry, Mike will talk about what do you want to do, because sometimes people want to build on the job site. Sometimes people want to help build families. You know, we have so many different opportunities at Habitat, and we really want to match your passion and your interest and your skill level. And we recognize that sometimes you might not even identify a skill you have. Like somebody who's volunteering at the ReStore right now flies drones. So it came up in a conversation, and I was like, how cool would that be to have all of our projects drone shot? So he's going to be working with Aaron on that.
That's great.
So
that's a specialized skill.
That's
as
a
well.
Very specialized skill.
It's also
skill.
A licensed thing, right? Yep. You have to be licensed for drone operation.
So that's something that we wouldn't have access to otherwise.
That's great.
And we also have volunteers that volunteer for a very long time. So there's a special celebration of life today for one of our long-term volunteers, Mike Foley. And he was volunteering with Habitat before I even joined 18 years ago. In fact, a few days before I started my job, I said, you know what, I'm going to volunteer as a regular person to see what that's all about. And Mike goes, okay. And he said, we're going to teach you how to do mudding. And if you don't know what that means, it's where you put this plaster over tape when you're doing sheetrocking. But we never let first-time volunteers do that.
I wonder why is that?
Because it is such a skill.
Yeah.
But Mike had decided, he didn't know who I was, and Mike had decided we had this thing that was sort of like a closet, but it was where back in the day where you had your TV would go. It was a square that, I don't know. So he was like, you're going to do in here. And I'm like, okay. So I climb in there, and I am in there doing a patch that's maybe, I don't know, 4 inches for 6 hours, and you know, just trying to make it perfect. And he'd come in and check on me and everything, and finally I had been in there so long cramped up, like he had to help pry me out because my legs were, we don't do that to our volunteers today, but I finally get out, and he goes, you know, you did a nice job there, a comment. you don't want to quit your day job because this is not going to be for you. And I started laughing. And one of the other board members had walked by. He goes, oh, have you met Carolyn? She's the new executive. I was an executive director then. The new executive director of PEP. And he goes, am I fired? I said, do I pay you? And he goes, no. And I said, no, then I can't fire you. So we have always had a great relationship. Yeah. And he just recently passed a couple of weeks ago. So the Habitat family will be down to Balderdash for a celebration of life. Yeah. And, you know, Habitat touches so many lives. When you volunteer, when you purchase a home, I've heard from so many Habitat families that Mike worked on their house. Hmm. And they're like, do you remember when Mike did this? Do you remember when Mike did that? And I thought to myself, Mike had a history of volunteering for many organizations, very involved in community. And I thought, how many lives and legacies do we leave by the volunteer acts that we do?
Yeah.
You know?
Especially things related to housing.
Yeah.
Because those are, you know, more permanent things.
Yeah.
Those are things that transcend even one family in a lot of ways, right? They'll be passed down. They'll be sold. Another family will live there. They'll benefit from the same work and inspiration that someone had that they may not even know what went into it.
And when we do stick-built houses on the inside of studs, anytime a volunteer works there, they get to write a message to the homeowners.
Ah.
And we always say that our houses are built with love from the inside out because everybody would write some kind of message of love in those walls.
Hmm.
So we actually had somebody else who's a very lover of Habitat, Stephen Heller, and his sister wants to honor him by doing a bike ride from Albany to Buffalo, and she's doing peer-to-peer fundraising for that. So, and I think she's raised a couple of $1,000 already in her brother's honor. And he was from South County, so they want to raise enough money to build a gazebo in the Prosperity Way project.
Where is that?
That's off of North Plain Road in Housatonic.
Okay.
The name of the street is Prosperity Way. That was chosen by a focus group of folks that potentially will be buying there. And it's single-family homes, but the land is owned as a condominium association because that reduces the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has some benefits of being able to have the bigger area mowed. You have the area around your house you're required to take care of, but then the bigger areas take care of for you. And it's going to be a beautiful project. The phase 1A will be six houses, and then 1B hopefully will be right after that with four units, and then phase two will be another 10 houses.
Wow.
So Habitat is very busy in Berkshire County right now.
And all of that is contributing to taking a little of the heat off of what has been a tremendous housing crisis.
Yeah.
And also, even when you're able to get housing, the cost is just tremendous. So all of these efforts are contributing to taking some of that heat off of that. So a fundraiser. So this is in memory of Stephen Heller.
Yep.
And I see here I have some notes on this.
Oh, good.
It's a 360-mile memorial cycling journey, according to this. And it begins on June 16th and ends on June 28th. So how is it that people can support this?
I think you can just go to our website. There's a QR code. Whenever we have any special fundraisers like that, if you just go to berkshirehabitat.org, there's a special place for that. Mm-hmm. And I know she's putting stuff out on social media, and I believe Erin has something out on the Habitat Facebook page and probably the Restore Facebook page as well.
Yep. So this is raising money going directly to
the
efforts of Habitat for Humanity Central Berkshire.
And I was blown away that she had decided to do that in her brother's honor. We've had folks in the past, when they pass, they oftentimes will remember Habitat in that way because it had such an impact on them one way or the other. And it's just lovely that she's doing this physical activity in honor of her brother.
And was Stephen involved with
Habitat? He wasn't with our affiliate.
No, okay.
No, but he, I guess, all through college and different times he had been. So, but he was always a very good supporter. We just really started building in South County in the last couple of years. So I think probably if we had, he would have been.
Yeah. So. Well, and there certainly is a need, and we see stories in the paper all the time talking about Lennox, talking about Lee, building projects that are happening there. You mentioned Housatonic.
Yeah.
You know, those are areas right now that you can also hear this program down in Lee on WSBR. So if you're listening down there, we hear you, and you're hearing some stories about things that are affecting your community as well as what we Habitat does here in Pittsfield. As well. And then there's the Foundations and Futures, right? So let's chat about that a little bit.
Yeah, this is such a celebration. So one of the things that we've been talking about is why do so many people not think about ownership of a home, which is a wealth generation and an asset?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how come people don't think about that as a...
Do they just feel it's unattainable?
Well, we don't know, right?
Or it's becoming more unattainable?
Well, we know for the people that are buying that they have a vision for it.
Yeah.
But we don't necessarily know what the barrier is for all the other folks, right? So we've been lucky that we have quite a few Habitat homeowners that have paid off their mortgage. And they grew up in this community. So I was
so
like,
that's actually doable,
it
paying
is
off
doable.
Your mortgage.
So what we said is, like, what if we have a mortgage burning party? So that people can see it can be done. Not only can it can you start it, but you can finish it.
Yeah.
And then all of the people, anybody, it doesn't have to be a Habitat person, but if you have bought a house since January 1 of 2024 to July 19th, come and celebrate the gift of ownership. So we're hoping to have all kinds of people there, not just Habitat people, but different people that have purchased a home. Kids are welcome. And we're just going to celebrate ownership and really owning a piece of our community and owning a piece of our neighborhood. We will have our financial education coaches will be there to answer any questions if people have questions about that. We've invited other developers like the Westside Legends to bring their, because, you know, they have some projects that they're going to be building.
Yeah.
We want them to be able to display their projects. We're going to have some that we have on deck. And we also are going to just be having a spin to win, asking people, what has been your barrier to thinking about home ownership? Because I feel like if we get enough knowledge from the people closest to it, we can come up with good solutions. So we really are looking at it as a celebration, an opportunity to learn more from our community, and just be able to have a day that says, you know, ownership is possible in the Berkshires. I know it's really hard, especially in South County, when the average purchase price is over $450,000. So if you're working even at the hospital, you're
That's just amazing. I mean, you throw that figure out there and I'm like, wow, is that really possible? $450,000? It's an average cost at this point. That just blows my mind.
Yeah. So, I mean, I scratch my head thinking, I mean, when I bought my first house in Pittsfield, I think we paid, it was a duplex, and we paid $67,000 for it. And I remember thinking, but at that time, I was living in a two-bedroom apartment with my husband and daughter, and we literally had three rooms. It was the kitchen, the living room, and the one-bedroom, and it cost us $425. I still remember that, because when we bought our new house, the duplex, we were only having to contribute like $200 because the rent on the other side paid the mortgage.
Okay.
And it was because we did that that we were able to buy a single family home. But we didn't have all the benefit of like Habitat. There's a lot of benefits of buying through Habitat. You get value at the time of sale. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of stuff. And I was like, how can people do it now? Like, it's just mind boggling to me.
And yet, there are so many benefits to doing so, right? So it's a leap. It's a gamble in a lot of ways. But at the same time, it provides, as you mentioned, benefits to home ownership and the celebration of which, and you should mark your calendars for this. Again, Saturday, July 19th, 1 to 4 p.m. At Durant Park.
Yep, right next to our offices. On the west side. And the park is looking beautiful. We were just over there, and it'll be a nice barbecue and stuff. And Nice. No fees. You don't have to pay anything.
Well, I'll tell you a personal story of mortgage burning, and it's my grandfather. And I remember it clearly. I was probably about 15 years old, 16 years old, and I didn't understand the concept of why we're doing this. We're in his kitchen, you know, and at the time, he paid off a 20-year mortgage, which I guess was more common, you know, back then, and now it's 30 years is the more common one. But it was this thing where all of our family got together, and, you know, I don't know if it was the exact paper from the mortgage
Probably not.
But here we are burning it in the kitchen. I'm like, wow. And it just, it made an impression on me of what does that mean?
Yeah.
That's an accomplishment.
Yep.
That's something where, you know, the fulfillment of a dream of living in your house and then paying it off. And now the house is yours.
Yep.
And that really did make a significant impression on me. And I know I'm getting close on my own, and I will do the exact same thing when that happens.
Yeah, it's really an amazing feature. And the other thing that we do statistics and math on everything, and when we do our orientation slide, we say if your rent were to stay the same now, in 30 years, how much, even if it's the same, how much would you have paid in? And there, one of the examples, you will have paid in more than $1 million. And what do you have to show for it?
Not much.
Nothing.
Yep.
You don't have anything that you can pass down to your family.
Yep.
And some people say, well, I'm not good at maintaining anything. I don't know how to do stuff. And that's the beauty of Habitat. You learn how to do that along the way.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a once and done thing. And the other thing is,
which you need some of those skills. And actually, even if you were renting, it would have been good to have those skills.
Absolutely. I mean, it's good to know how a house goes together, even if it's an apartment. I mean, I remember when I first started at Habitat, one of the women called up and she said, I can't get the lights to go on. And I was like, well, did you try this? And she didn't really know what I was talking about. I said, let me come on over. And she was down in the basement and she couldn't find the electrical panel because in her old apartment, she had to do fuses.
Oh.
But, you know, now you use circuit breakers.
Sure.
So she didn't even know what the circuit breaker box was. And that was when I was like, yeah, we're doing a whole house training because people should know that we have circuit breakers. And I went over and she goes, well, where are the fuses? And I said, you don't have fuses. Here, let me show you. And she goes, that's so easy. I said, yes, it is.
And it can seem intimidating at first for a lot of people, right? Like, oh, I never touch that. I would never, you know, that's not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I let someone else handle that. Where what you're teaching is, no, you really should know this.
Exactly.
And you should be able to take care of this.
And when we
and
do,
it's doable for you.
And when we do some of our women build trainings, we had one of our old electricians would show folks how to test an electrical outlet. There's a little tester thing that costs about $4.
Yep.
And you can know whether they're not, he's not encouraging people to mess with it, but you can at least know, is that the problem? So when you call the electrician, you can say, hey, it's dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Beats testing it with your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not recommend.
Not recommended. Even, I don't even think you get a free perm out of the deal.
No, probably not.
So.
But anyway, it's really good to have those skills. And this celebration, again, Foundations and Futures, mark your calendars for Saturday, July 19th. And
it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And I know I was talking to one of our lending partners over at the co-ops, and Scott was saying that his daughter just bought a house. And I was, he goes, could she go? And I said, oh, that'd be great. And then one of our new members, Maggie Steele, is from Head Start. And her daughter's looking to buy a house right now. And one of our old AmeriCorps that now works for Cornell, she sent me a thing and say, I'm finally going to be a homeowner. And so she's buying a house in Utica. And I was like, hey, if you can come out, that'd be great. So, I mean, people are starting to understand that if you want to have a solid future, I mean, that's how most middle class people have anything, is because they bought a home, you know.
Yeah, that's the single most, the largest purchase you will make, right? Second largest, usually a car. But having a car means that you have a depreciating asset.
Exactly.
Whereas, as we know now, certainly housing does appreciate. There are times, like during the housing crisis of 2008, where that was a little more in question.
Yeah.
Where you didn't exactly know what the value of your house was going to be after everything was sort of falling apart there for a while and things have changed on that. But generally speaking, that's the kind of asset that will appreciate.
Yeah. And your housing payment generally is less than it's going to be for rising rents. I mean, I've been amazed at how bad it's out for renters right now. It's just really bad.
And again, some of that is due to the supply and demand of housing and just the ability for landlords to raise rents to, you know, change their tenants so that they can get higher paying tenants in. But that generally means that you also then have someone who isn't going to be housed. Right. Yep. And that leads to the other conversations that we've had.
And I know that that's very challenging. And I know I talked to the mayor the other day and, you know, I feel so bad for people in leadership right now because some of these issues are so incredibly complex.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can be, you're for this or you're against that. It's got to be, how do we come to the middle and build consensus and figure out
a solution?
How do we find a solution together? Yeah. And everybody's got to be involved in that discussion. And that's one of the things that I love about Habitat is we're always looking about coalitions and how do we get solutions that are ground up and bringing the people that are at the top that are the final decision makers in, you know, like they both have to be together.
Yeah. Because it has to be on their radar screen too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We were talking about something the other day and they were like, hey, I didn't even know that was a thing. And I was like, yeah, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I don't know. It just, one of the things that I love about the Berkshires so much is, yes, we do not get all the resources that Boston gets, but we are also very good at working together. You know?
Yeah.
There are very few times that I've picked up the phone and said, hey, can you be a thought partner with me on this? I'm trying to figure out how this might work. I've never had a no. Never had a no.
I think we're a lot less provincial out here only because we need each other more.
Exactly.
Boston has its silos and things that, you know, you do, you know, over here versus over here. And I think Berkshire's, we tend to work together a lot better.
Yeah.
And we saw that during COVID also.
Yeah.
You know, that was a pretty common theme that we explored.
Yeah.
In the last few moments we have, Carolyn Valley, again, CEO of the Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity, my guest here for today. Just a few minutes left. How do you sort of identify new opportunities for sites for building in Berkshire County? What kinds of things sort of send up a flare to you to say, oh, that would be a good location. Why don't we explore that for our next building project for Habitat?
So oftentimes what will happen is we'll get a phone call from somebody and say, hey, I've got some land or I have a house. Like I got a call the other day. I have a house that we might want to donate to you. And we just go out and take a look at it. We were lucky enough to get some property given to us off of Cheshire Road that's across from Allendale. So we've just started the process of, we've accepted the land. Now we're doing the feasibility study and putting in the thing. But
so
that's
sometimes
be
it'll
great.
Be an outright donation.
It'll be
land.
An outright donation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll buy land at the land auction. Usually I can't spend very much on that. But a lot of times it's the generosity of people saying, you know what? My grandma had this piece of land. We want Habitat to have it. Or Affordable Housing Trust, like the Great Barrington Housing Trust, is the they bought the Prosperity Way land for us to build on because they wanted to make an investment in affordable home ownership. So that's the key there.
Are there opportunities to turn neighborhoods around, maybe ones that have fallen into bad favor or, you know, declined in terms of their how well they're built or if they're falling apart, they're being condemned or whatever? Do you identify things like that and say that would be a good place here?
Sometimes we do. We do. In each of the neighborhoods we are building in, we do walk arounds or drive arounds and start saying, like, you know, we'll call the city and say, hey, is this house on the demolition list? Is this up for land tax and title? What's going on with that? The areas that I usually stay away from is any that are in a flood zone. Because, regular insurance is very costly right now. And if you have flood insurance, it almost puts it out of the realm of being affordable.
Yeah. And we also don't know what's going to happen with federal flood insurance program, right?
Yeah.
All so many other questions there.
So that's a concern. But we always are happy to go out and take a look if somebody's, you know, has something on their radar. And we work closely with the city and say, you know, if there's a project that's coming up or a piece of land that you know about, especially if there's an, if it's a really bad situation where the house really needs to be demolished, it usually is on the Pittsfield's demolish list. And then we want to fill that back in with a tax generating property. So that oftentimes is a good opportunity.
And again, that's a benefit to not only the homeowner, but also the community and everything else that falls in line with that, the economy. There's so many things that are connected when you rehab a property or build a new house.
We say house, health, education, and safety are all together.
Yeah. All the interconnected parts, for sure. Well, Carolyn Valley, the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity, thank you so much for being here today, as usual. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
442-3106. I had to look at my... Nope, that's not it. It's 442-3181.
Okay.
And if you dial extension 9... Alyssa can help direct you to whoever you need to go to.
Right. And that might be for volunteering. It might be for getting on a list.
It might be for anything.
Restore.
Yep.
Well, we didn't even talk about that.
I know. Josh, we'll have to come back. We're going to have a lot of things going on with Restore soon, too.
All right. Good to hear. All
right. Thanks so much.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend out there. And Bill Sturgeon will be back on Monday with more Morning Drive. Have a great time. Take care. Yeah.